When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
For 20 years, Dr. Morgan has built a solid foundation for trusted guidance. People with a genuine passion for wayfinding, we start each day with the goal of getting our customers to the closing table with ease, care, and consideration. Stockton Mortgage is home to 45 branch locations and licensed in 25 states. They're growing. Founded in the Bluegrass State and headquartered in Frankfurt, Stockton Mortgage brings 20 years of insight and just enough flexibility to make the dream of home ownership happen. In fact, Stockton Mortgage was recently named KHC's number one lender, connecting 445 Kentucky homebuyers with down payment assistance last year. That's awesome. And listen to this. Stockton Mortgage also received Freddie Mac's Home Possible Rise Award for fastest growth. I'm telling you, they're a five-star mortgage provider. Let us help you find your new home. Give us a call or go online to Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com. Stockton Mortgage, NMLS 8259, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, equal housing lender.
Kentucky Sports Radio, presented by Stockton Mortgage. Now, here's Matt Jones.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Kentucky Sports Radio, here live at KS Bar and Grill on a beautiful, well, it's not very beautiful, but on a on a morning here in Lexington, Kentucky. You can give us a shout, 502-571-1080. Max Duffy joins us here, so let's talk a little football. I guess the easiest thing to start with, Max, is we lost to Vandy.
We did, yeah. And, it was one of the most depressing games I think I've ever been to, honestly. I just thought at some stage, it's one of those ones where it's like, at some stage we'll get into gear and we'll get going. Like, yeah, hey, whatever, we get off to a slow start, and then it's just one of those games that just keeps going, and they stick around, and they stick around. And then on that, when they converted the first fourth down with the penalty, I was like, oh, it's all right. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Brad Wright will be okay. And then it just, things kept happening, and they throw the big pass, and it's like, not our day and not our year, unfortunately.
I almost always take the view in games, like, I'm the kind of guy who looks and says, okay, how can this go wrong? Like, you've watched games with me, Max. I'm always like, there's 30 seconds left on the clock. You know, they can still, When Chris ran that touchdown, I thought we'd won. I mean, I did sort of think, like, okay, well, they'll definitely get – they're not going to let them go 80 yards here. And then we did.
Yeah, I almost thought, contrary to that, I was like, he scored too quick there. We would have liked to just take a little bit of time off the clock. I didn't think they were going to be able to stop him. And then he ran, and I was like, they still got 5 minutes left or four
See,
minutes.
I was worried if we got stopped in the red zone, we wouldn't get it in the end zone. So, like, those last 10 or 15 yards, it looked like he might get caught, Ryan. And I was like, get in. Normally, I would be like Max. I would say, stop so that we can get the clock. But, like, I wanted him in because we've had such a hard time in the red zone.
I'm like you. When he made that touchdown, I thought, game's over. That's exactly what we need. A big play, hit a home run, game over.
He almost single-handedly won us that game.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't even blocking well for him. He was just pushing guys over, running through three or four guys at some stages.
He was absolutely awesome. What I really wanted to talk to you about is, you know, we got Ryan here who gets all silent when we talk about it. But Dekel Crowdis' comments yesterday, which did actually he said them on Tuesday, and it looks like no one even wrote about him except Nick Roush. And then all of a sudden, like, it didn't even get found for a little while. But apparently it became a big thing. It was apparently a big thing in the locker room yesterday about him saying the problem is we don't have is the play caller. You know the locker room situations in basketball. You've been part of it. You know what that's like.
Football. Yeah.
I'm sorry, in football. Yeah. You know what that's like. What do you make of a statement like that getting public? And if you're in that locker room, what does that tell you?
I got to be somewhat careful with what I say, I guess. I mean, it means that clearly there's a lot of unrest and uneasiness in the locker room. But I would say this to start off with. I know for sure, for a fact, that as many guys, and Dekel obviously did it publicly, Tavion's done it publicly on Twitter as well, liking a few tweets and stuff. For as many guys there is on that, there is a bunch of guys on the other side wishing these guys would jump on board and just learn and pay attention and spend the time to learn this offense. I'm not going to roast Gangarello on here. Clearly, he hasn't done a good enough job to get everyone on board. Your job as a coach is to get everyone on board. And ultimately, I mean, who knows what will happen the next few weeks.
Do you think Scangarello does have supporters in the locker room?
Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, his offense is very, very similar to Collins. I know people aren't going to like this, but this is the truth. I mean, I talked to lots of the guys. He has very similar offense to Collins. It's had to be dumbed down and dumbed down and dumbed down to being the most plain and vanilla because some of these guys just aren't putting in the time to get it, and they want it to be revolved around them, and it can't always be about one or two guys. And I would say a big difference for me this year, and look, some of it's still on Scangarello. You got to get the guys to buy in. But we had Wandale Robinson come to us last year, best player on the team. Everyone's comment from the moment he stepped in was, this guy works so hard. He is the best, most humble dude. He's come in and he set an example for all these guys of this is how you buy into the program and this is how you get things working. Clearly, I mean, Tavion showed his hand. He's not like that. He's happy to call people out and do other things. And if the leader does it, then it gives permission for everyone else to do it. And so clearly, Dekel felt empowered.
So you put a lot of this, and I'm glad you're saying this because, I mean, this is not what the conventional wisdom is. You put a lot of this, it sounds like, on the individual players for not working at the level of, say, Wandale last year.
Yeah, and I would also put it on just maybe some key leaders for us in the play and personnel have gone. I mean, Wandale, and then you had Luke Fortner, who led the offensive line. Great, two really good dudes that controlled everything. And, hey, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for all of us. This year, and they're through no fault of some of their own. I mean, we got young guys like Dane's young. He's still learning the ropes. Barion's young. He's still learning the ropes. Dekel's even young, still learning the ropes. But if you have these older guys here that are setting the way and leading the path, then they're easy to follow. I'm not sure that there's those guys on our team this year. I mean, the O-line hasn't really probably been able to speak up because they've been performing so badly. Will hasn't had his greatest year, and he is a very focused and driven guy on what he wants to achieve. And just not sure there is that, and that wouldn't be ideal if you're the offensive coordinator.
What are your thoughts on all that?
This is no inside information. This is my own personal feeling. I swear this. No, Dane hasn't told me this. Dekel hasn't told me this. Just me thinking. I would think the receiver room is probably a little upset because the way the offense is going and they're not throwing the ball like they thought they were going to this year. And I can see their point about some frustration maybe growing. But, you know, I talked to Dekel a little bit last night, and I think he knows maybe that wasn't the right time to say something like that. And I think there were some internal things that he had to do, you know. So I think it is, like you said, Matt, a growing concern that maybe there are – and again, this is just me saying it. There are some growing concerns that maybe there are some trouble in the locker room for the way the season has gone.
Do you both suspect – and you don't have to, I don't want to put either of you on the spot because both of you probably know things that you can't talk about. So I don't want to put you on that spot. But do you both think we will lose players? I mean, we're going to lose players. Everybody loses players. But that we're going to lose players that matter in the offseason to transfer?
It seems like that's the trend in college football.
I'm asking you specifically about this.
Well,
if you're asking me to say yes or no at this just this point, I'd say probably yes.
Okay.
I genuinely think it's whether we decide to keep Scangarello or not, and then it's like, you know, which one do you want? You want, where do you want to put your foot down with? You want to put your foot down with the offensive coordinator and say that the players on the team can kind of have their way, and when they speak up, it's gone, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I think if you do lose some of the players, then it is what it is. Or do you want to put the foot down and say, hey, you guys need to do as we try to instruct you, and you need to be better, and we're keeping this guy, and you guys got to learn how to deal with it. But I think then a few will
see,
go.
See, here's what I think would be hard if you're Mark Stoops. If you think there needs to be a change on your own, but you also don't want the players to think they run the ship,
yeah,
that would be a tough spot to be in. Like, if you thought, look, this just hadn't worked out like I hoped. I think we need to make a change. But I also think the receivers haven't bought in, or whoever, right? Like, I think that would be a tough spot to be in as a coach, because there would be no easy answer there that would make a lot of sense.
I'll give you a specific example. Now, I've already talked about this on my show, so it's not breaking news. But this year, we went away from being able to call audibles at the line of scrimmage, right? Because we kept jumping and we kept making mistakes with it. Now, I would say when you go away from doing those audibles, that limits your offense and ability. Now, who made that decision, I'm not sure, but it's little things like that. Whereas if the players are really locked in and getting it right and concentrating, then maybe our offense looks a lot better, or we don't have to dumb it down.
And so let's take up for Scangarello for a second, because there's been a lot of criticism. What do you do if you're Scangarello, and when you audible at the line, your offensive linemen always jump off sides or false start? What do you do? Do you just keep doing it, or do you stop audibling, at which point then all of a sudden the offense is worse? It is sort of a catch-22, right?
Yeah, I'll piggyback what you guys have said. You know, they take out his ability to audible, they take out his ability to run the football, it does kind of limit you.
But maybe he doesn't have a choice but to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very, I think it is a complex situation. 502-571-1080. Let's switch gears here for just a second. Georgia's coming to town. We, as a matter of fact, there's a Georgia fan just walked in. I was about to say, this bar is going to have a lot of Georgia people here tonight. And the first one, it's 11:15, and the first one's already here. 12 more right behind you.
Oh, boy.
45 out. Look at this. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think tonight during this Titans-Packers game, you're going to see a lot of Georgia. We got to come in here and counteract them. But I do think there's. You're a Georgia fan. Are you from Georgia?
Yeah.
How many? How much do you think the crowd is Georgia that Saturday? How many people do you think are coming here? 20 or 30, 40%. Wow. Well, look, I mean, I don't want to say that's crazy, because LSU last year. LSU had 30% of the crowd. Okay, you can't talk the whole show. I'm doing a show. I ask you one question, that's all I can give you, all right? But I do think you're going to see a ton of Georgia people here, Max.
We are, and this man's not going to like it sitting there. They've got to be one of the most annoying supporter bases when they're going well, and they are going so well at the moment. Now, they were very nice to us when we went down there, but they're one of the most annoying, like, Southern Georgia, just guys that... I don't know. I don't like them. I don't like it when they're going well, because they're just so hard to deal with. I have so many friends that are from Georgia because my old long snapper was from there. And the amount of texts you get and arrogant statements and stuff, I hate it.
You know, we've seen home games here with a lot of Georgia people. But, man, if it's 40%, that may be the biggest Georgia crowd it's been here. I mean, you're talking a lot of numbers there.
I don't know if it'll get that high, but I think it'll be a lot.
Wow.
I mean, 40% is a lot. I think you, but I could see 30, I could see 25, and if it's 30 or 25, that's a lot. I mean, that's a very noticeable crowd difference if that's what it is.
Well, like Max and I were saying during the break, a lot of Georgia fans that maybe can't get tickets to a home game, they were able to get tickets to this game so they can come watch their team play.
Yeah. So 502-571-1080. Who's up next?
Let's go to Mike.
Mike, what's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, first time, long time.
Hoo-ah.
I wanted to comment on Sevier. I believe we're being unfairly critical of him by saying he shouldn't have the ball in the last few minutes of the game, and here's why. I believe that it doesn't matter what player you plug into that position. If you have no direction or instruction as to what you should be doing with the ball, anyone who is in that position is going to look bad and make mistakes. and Jason Wallen.
I would disagree with your premise. He has no instruction. I mean, I say this respectfully, but you have no basis to say he has no instruction. I mean, they don't just go out there and say just run around. I mean, they have instruction.
Well, that's what it looks like.
But it's not that John Calipari. He does some things I don't like at the end of games, but the idea that he just says, well, go, here you go. What he does say is, we're going to run this weave. When you get a step, take your man. And the problem is, C.J. Frederick can't take his man.
Right.
Jason Wallace didn't look like he wanted to, and we ended up with the one guy who can take his man is Sevier. The problem is he can't finish. And so you end up with this situation where I don't think he's just told, whatever, man, do your thing. Like, he's told to do something.
No, I get that.
But I think he's told to do something that maybe he can't do.
Yeah, I believe that it looks like that you have five guys running around aimlessly at the end of the game.
I know that's what it looks like, but I don't think that's it. I just think they're asked to do things they can't do. I don't mean like, I mean, listen, I'm very critical about Cal about this stuff, but I don't think it's fair to just act like they have no direction. There is no coach who can be as successful as Cal who tells his kids, I don't care what you do. Like, that just doesn't happen.
Well, you say successful as Cal, but in late game situations, he's not very successful.
Okay. Well, I appreciate
it. Is that true or false?
It depends on when you're talking about. There have been a lot of times he's been really successful over the years. He hasn't been successful recently because I believe he's trying to do an offense that doesn't work with these players. But to act like John Calipari has never been successful at end-of-game situations is ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
I wish
we could get to a point, and I appreciate the call. I wish we could get to a point where we could have honest conversations about this where it doesn't just get extreme, where people are just like, he's terrible, or yep, Cal, whatever he says works. Like, is there not ability to have nuance? Here's the nuance. For years, what he did worked, and now it's not as much. Why? That's the question to me, right?
Yeah, the question, is it personnel or is it coaching? That's, you know, kind of what we've been kind of discussing.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
It's coaching not adapting to the personnel.
Hopefully that's going to change by the end of the year. We look back at this game like maybe that's where it all turned around.
How can you look and say they never win at the end of games? In 2011 and 2014, we won every game in the tournament at the end of game. Every single one of them. So, you know, I don't really know how people can come up. I got to go to break. I'm sorry. 502-571-1080. If you need insurance, trustedchoice.com. It is the one place where you can get all of your insurance needs at a price that you can afford. It's trusted choice. Wouldn't you like to have a local agent?
Oh, I'd love to.
Because local agents, what do?
They have your best interest at heart.
That's exactly. Listen, look at this guy. TrustedChoice.com. Your place to get insurance. Your place to get happiness. Your place to have success. TrustedChoice.com. We'll be right back.
To talk to Matt Jones and the crew, call the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line at 502-571-1080 or 1-877-904-1080 or send us the Kentucky branded KSR tweet of the day by tweeting Matt at KY Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Kentucky Sports Radio. I like this song.
I'm going to say this in your wheelhouse.
Come here, my homies.
The official lyrics?
I don't know all the lyrics to the song, but where you get, it's ludicrous, right?
Yeah.
What is it? There's a couple lyrics in here I like. It's like, where you get all that chrome or something like that.
I take your word for it. I just know roll out.
Turn it up just a sec.
You's a superstar, boy. Why you still up in the hood? What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag? A couple of cans of whoop.
I like that he does that a lot in the song. Like, he doesn't know what to say, so he just asks the question and answers. So he's like, what you got in, you a superstar in your bag. What you got in that bag? And he's like, got it. Line done. Uh-huh. Just rhyme bag with bag. We're to the next line.
Move to the next one.
Right?
I like it. I like Ludacris.
I do, too. Ludacris, he's Ludacris. He's wonderful.
He's done some acting.
Every rapper's an actor. Like, that's the only type of music where the moment you're in it, everybody's like, well, you're also an actor.
Uh-huh.
Like, nobody looks at, like, rock and roll singer Shannon's like, well, he's also an actor.
Yeah. Well,
I know there have been rock and roll people. Like, Bon Jovi became an actor.
Yeah.
I guess Tim McGraw's done some acting.
Yeah.
But, like, in general, rappers, they're all in movies. Uh-huh. Like, every one of them is in a movie. I wish it was the same in country music. I wish they were like, all right, let's get Mark Chestnut and give him a role.
Well, I mean, Reba McEntire had her own show.
Yeah, but you saw it. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like 20 seasons.
Yeah, 20 seasons of awfulness. I'm just saying, there's no group of people. That's why you want to be a rapper. You automatically get to be an actor, like, as soon as it's over.
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube's,
I mean,
the
just
best.
Go through yeah. them. Tupac, yeah. Ice Cube.
Snoop.
All of them.
Snoop's everywhere right
they're
now.
They're all in
Busta
movies.
Rhymes.
But all of them. Yep. Every rapper at some point finds himself an actor. Well, Eminem had his own bio, and he starred himself.
Yeah, I
mean, like, you know, it's crazy that no other place does that happen except rap music. Are you, Ryan, we meant to talk about this the other day. You've been talking for years that the marijuana train was rolling. Well, it's at least made a pit stop in Kentucky. Andy Beshear legalizes medical marijuana that you buy out of state. He doesn't have the ability to legalize in state without the legislature. But if you buy it out of state and you have a medical card and bring it to Kentucky, you will be legal having it. What do you think of that?
Marijuana train has been circling.
The marijuana train has
been circling around Kentucky for years. It's finally crossed the border, and now it's like just kind of trotting through the state.
I saw a stat today that said 61% of Americans, is that, or am I right? No, 68% of Americans, that's what it was. 68% of Americans now favor the legalization of marijuana. That number has to have exploded in the last 10 years.
Oh, it definitely has. We had this conversation when our show first started. I thought it was still a long shot, a dream, and now it's like it's happening. Marijuana twain is here.
So you can draw.
Daniel Cameron, by the way, says he's suing to keep this from happening.
I saw that.
Which I think is actually, if I were advising him, I'd say I think that's a bad position. You, the kind of people that will support that already support you. If you're trying to win people over, being the guy who stops medical marijuana is just not the way to go.
No, so you can drive. So you have to have a card, though, right? You can't just drive to Colorado.
It's not a card. You have to have a doctor's thing. There's like, I think there were like 25 different. There's like 25 different ailments that it is okay for, from post-traumatic stress to epilepsy to, I mean, there's like 25 of them. I don't know what they are. And if you have one of those and you have something from a doctor that says you do, then you can get it in another state and bring it back.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. What about, so can you get some for your constant sickness?
I don't think.
That'd be on the list.
I don't think
25?
Constant sickness is one of the things on the list, but I do think they will. I do think there's going to. Listen, I think it's the first step. In my opinion, either this president or the next one, whoever it is, will legalize marijuana nationwide. I thought Trump was going to do it. I thought it would have been really smart if it, right before the election, he had legalized marijuana. I think he'd have won.
Yeah.
And I think either Biden or the next president after that will do it. I think it's just a matter of time. Who's next?
Andy.
Andy. How are you, Andy?
Hey, doing good. With basketball and football, I'll start with football. I think there's a little bit of truth on both sides with Gangarella and the wide receivers. But I do think with the NIL and the transfer portal, now players probably is going to be more likely to speak out when things are going wrong. Scangarello, with the recruits looking in, with wide receivers, the way that they're talking now, I think Stoops is in a tough position, and I wouldn't want to be in his. But
I just got like 10 seconds.
I just think I would probably go the route to get rid of Scangarello and just, for the fact that you want to keep good recruits coming in, and right now things are not looking good.
I do think Andy's right that the players have much more of an impact, Max, in the transfer portal era.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they have to rule the show, though. Like, you still got to buy into the program. They can't run it.
No, I agree with that. But they have more of an impact.
They do.
I mean, you have to ask them that. Like, you got to at least say. Like, with Will Levis, they didn't hire Scangarello without asking him.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who.
Welcome back to Kentucky Sports Radio, presented by Stockton Mortgage. Here's Matt Jones.
I really like this song, and we were during the break here. There's some like rap or R&B song that's like a remix of this. Shannon, yeah. Do you know what it is?
I've never heard it. I just know the original. Well, I need to.
If somebody knows, 772-774-5254, because I kind of liked it. It was playing over the speaker here because I've always liked heard it from a friend who.
Yeah, I was an REO Speedwagon guy back in the day. Seen him in concert here at RUP. Matter of fact,
really?
Yeah.
Are you going to go see Lizzo?
You know, I don't know if I'm going to make that one.
I've already seen Lizzo just listening to you sing.
That's true.
You
know? That's true. Yeah. I'm going. And when that song comes on, I'm going to scream it.
So she's coming to RUP.
Yeah, she's coming to RUP. That's why we talked about Lizzo
the
other day.
You're actually
going? Of course I'll go. I mean, it's not till April. I got to make sure I'm going to be here. But if I'm here, then I certainly would love to go see Lizzo.
Well, I mean, listen, I'll great go not to be the band break. Well, I'm being great not to be the band break.
You think she'll get you up on stage?
Yes, maybe she'll get you up on stage. You do a duet with her.
You knew what song I was talking about, right,
yeah.
Shannon?
Yeah.
Like, close your eyes and act like this isn't Lizzo.
Well, I'm in great now to be the band break. Well, I'm in great now to be the band break.
I don't hear a difference, really.
I think it's the same.
Get on.
That's yeah. By the way, do me a favor. I've wanted to hear this for a while, and I can't find it in the archives. Please play Don Imus talking about Rick Pitino real quick for me.
Okay, here it is.
You know, at Louisville, he gives his kids cars and hookers and money.
That's one of my favorite clips. It really is. Louisville, 0-3, each lost by 1 point. They lost their first three home games in 1940, and two of the teams they lost to in 1940 were Kentucky Wesleyan and Transylvania. How about that?
Heads up.
Go Cats.
K-Dub.
Go Pioneers. You think they turn it around?
Nope.
They play in Maui next week.
Loss, loss, and loss. It's not happening.
Would you rather beat them this year by 1 point or like 50?
What if they just lose every game by 1 point? But they play Arkansas next. They ain't losing by one. Arkansas is going to beat them by 20.
Yeah, that's true.
So they won't lose the next one by one. They could easily start 0-7.
Oh.
Because they have the three games in Maui, and then they play Maryland.
Yeah, it's like a – my five-win prediction, I think, is pretty solid.
I'm with Ryan. I think zero ACC.
Now, Florida State, to be fair, is 0-3 as well. Lost to Stetson, Central Florida, and Troy.
Buy your tickets for that game now. Florida State and Louisville.
Florida State and Louisville.
First win of the season for somebody.
Somebody will win. Somebody's that's exactly win. Right. What about Northern Kentucky last
night?
Yeah. The Northern Kentucky Norse hosted Cincinnati. I don't know how they got Cincinnati to do that.
Uh-huh.
They held Cincinnati to 11 points in the second half and won by 13.
Matt, I know this isn't the gambling show, but I tried to do one of your things where you take like big favorites by like more than 10-point favorites and put three of them together. Two of the three lost, and Cincinnati was one of them.
First of all, you never, ever – I'm trying to help you here. When you do the money line parlay, which is what you're talking about, which I've had a ton of success on this year in college football, you don't pick road teams.
Okay.
You don't – I mean, unless you just know there's no way they're going to lose. So you don't pick road teams. You pick home favorites – that you don't. So, for instance, I will do a lot of those this year with Kentucky at home in SEC games because I just don't think they're going to lose at home this year. So you do home favorites and then do three or four of them, and that will give you people say, well, Vegas, that the people they say that's dumb. I don't care if it's dumb. It's the only thing I consistently win on in gambling, Ryan, is money line parlays.
Big win for Darren Horn, former KSR co-host, did the pregame show on KSR.
So atmosphere looked amazing, didn't it?
It did look awesome.
It looked amazing.
That is a really cool arena that they've got up there at Northern Kentucky. And to get Cincinnati to come in, big win. Mark Cheeseburger, I'm sure, was crying last night. So shout out to the Norse.
Shout out to the Norse. Who's next?
Let's go to Glenn in Pennsylvania.
Glenn, how are you?
Doing good, guys. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Max just for being so honest and straightforward about locker room stuff. A lot of guys don't get to experience that, and it's good to hear from a guy who has experienced it and knows kind of what the ins and outs of the locker room are about. And secondly, since the transfer portal and the NIL deals are coming about, is college football going to be a one-and-done sport now? And if so, who's the best coach for them?
Yeah, I think that's unlikely to be the case. I mean, we'll see this year. I think this is the year that's the test, Max. I think I want to see how many – a lot of people think there'll be a ton of transfers. I think there'll be some. I don't think there'll be as many as people think. I do think you're going to see a lot of scenarios where a guy for their last year goes and picks the spot that makes the most sense for him. But I still think you won't succeed in college football if you're only, like, doing transfers.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot less than you think. And unfortunately for some guys, they choose to transfer out, and then there's not a whole lot of interest for them, even though they think there will be. One thing that I would kind of like to see, I don't know if this is controversial or not, is if you sign your NIL deal when you get there, you might be locked in for a couple seasons, two or three seasons at the school. Otherwise, it's just 85 transfers every single year, and it's just a free-for-all. Like,
no, wait, but that goes against what you just said. Like, they're either going to be a lot of transfers or not.
Well, no, as in, I'd like to see them bring in that of, like, if you sign your deal.
Okay, but that's illegal, so they're not going to do that. Okay. So what is it that they're – I mean, do you think there'll be a ton of transfers? And by a ton, I mean, like even before the portal, five or six guys left every year. So let's say it goes up to 8 or 10. That's still not a crazy number.
No, I think about 8 or 10 is about right. It puts a hell of a lot of pressure on you to win some games because you have that one bad season and everyone's checking out, see you later. So it does put a lot of pressure on that.
But you also have a chance to rebuild quicker.
Yes.
I mean, you also have a chance if you're able to sell something to rebuild quicker. So, Ryan, I think there's going to be a talent to the portal, like how you manage it, and whoever figures that out first, I think, will have a real advantage.
And I think Stoops, they did kind of figure it out. You know, they went and got people that they needed. I think
Kentucky and Ole Miss have been two very, yeah, very good early on at it.
But I'm like with Max. I don't think there's going to be a ton of people. I think some schools will sell out and try to get a lot, but, man, you still got to develop your kids you got on your team. You know, you still got a lot of young talent, a great young talent. You still got to develop them as well and not depend on every season, I got to go in the transfer portal and get this guy and that guy.
That's right. Who's next?
Danny.
Danny, how are you, Danny?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's
hey,
up?
Listen, I'm kind of perplexed about the basketball. I'm sure the fan base is butthurt, like Ryan says. But
that's one way to put it.
One thing that has followed Calipari in his career, college career, is free throws. UMass and at Memphis and now at Kentucky. And it's not like he presses constantly where the guy's legs are gone. And when they go to the free throw line, you know, they're having a problem putting these in. These are upperclassmen. It's, you know, a couple of the freshmen, you know, having a hard time hitting. But again, in the Michigan State game, in regulation, they hit free throws, and this is a win. We're not even talking about this.
But my question for that always is, what do you want him to do? I mean, like, you're right. There's been a consistent problem. You're right that it's odd. At the same time, I can tell you for a fact they spend the same amount of time doing free throws that everybody else does. So at some point, what do you want him to do?
Well, you know, I'm not really pointing fingers at him saying that, you know, it's his fault necessarily. It's on the guys to get into the gym, you know, and shoot on their own. But I'm just wondering if it's not a, you know, a mental thing,
It is mental. There's no doubt. And I appreciate the call. There's no doubt it's mental. I mean, Case Wall's missing those free throws at the end. That's a mental thing, Ryan. As to why it happens, I don't know.
We've seen it over the course of history in basketball, man. It just gets in your head. We've seen 90% shooters miss a clutch free throw at the end of the game because it is. It's mental at that time. It does seem odd, though. Cal's free throw struggles have followed him wherever he's been.
Go get yourself a sports psychologist. I got a master's in sports psychology. If Cal wants to give me a call, get me there. I'll teach him how to shoot. Well, not teach him how to shoot free throws, but just get inside their head and make sure they're comfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. Remember we had the guy who – I try so hard. Remember we had the guy who said he would teach everybody to shoot free throws? Uh-huh. Remember that guy?
Tried to coach Shannon.
And then he didn't coach Shannon. He wasn't able to coach Shannon. So,
do you think maybe the extra ankle strength has been hard to shoot free throws with?
That's what it is.
Yeah. Who's up next?
Let's go to Cody. I'm kind of throwing him out. Cody, go ahead, Cody.
Hey, first time, long time.
Thank you, Cody. Ooh-ah.
I just wanted to call in and see what you guys thought about. I was watching the Michigan State game and disappointed like everybody else, but it was a fun game to watch, and I really loved watching Oscar play. And I was watching him, and I was like, see his joy and his smile on the court. And I was like, man, that's probably going to be my favorite UK player right now. So, but I wanted to see what you guys thought about Oscar winning Player of the Year again, what his chances are.
He won't, because they just don't do that, really. I appreciate the call. I mean, there's only been, what, two in history? What, Bill Walton and Kareem? Are those
the Ralph Sampson.
And Ralph Sampson, so yeah. Three. They won't give it to him 2 years in a row. I mean, he'd have to be – the reality is you have to be substantially better than you just were. So, like, again – go back and look at Lamar Jackson. His stats were better the next year than the year he won, and he didn't get it. Uh-huh. Bryce Young, you don't even hear him mentioned as a contender. I mean, they just don't want to give it to people twice in a row, and I would be – I mean, he'd have to be dominant to get to win it again.
Yeah, and he's the best, and everyone loves him. But I tell you what, if there's too many double flexes in the first half after 2 points or something, I
was surprised about that. Yeah. Brian. I was, and there was at least one play that the flex caused him not to get back.
You know, the first thing he did when he ran down the court, did the "you're too little" sign, put his hand down there, and I thought, wait a minute, that's Oscar doing that? And then he did the Superman muscle sign, like, come on, man, just. We love Oscar for who you are. You don't have to showboat for us.
Well, I don't mind the showboat and just get back on defense.
Get back on defense.
if you can showboat all you want if you get back on defense. That's my only thing. Day Chaser is the official canned cocktail, Brian. It's official canned cocktail of the Breeders' Cup. That's over, but don't forget that it was. And tonight I'm giving $500 away during the pregame show because of Day Chaser, because they have the best wine and spirits. You guys both love the Day Chaser. You drank a bunch of it at the Breeders' Cup.
Loved it. Woke up the next day feeling refreshed because it's sessionable. You can drink it all day.
It's sessionable.
Oh, it's extremely.
What's your favorite flavor?
I like the lime vodka and the lime tequila. Those are the two go-tos.
Yeah, the vodka for me. The vodka ones for me are the best.
People, I think the vodka ones are the ones that people really go for. The tequila is a very unique taste. You have to be ready for it. But some people love it. But either way, Day Chaser, you can learn more at daychaser.com. And if you're here today during the pregame show, you might win some cash from Day Chaser as well. We'll take a break and be right back. It's Kentucky Sports Radio.
To talk to Matt Jones and the crew, call the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line at 502-571-1080 or 1-877-904-1080.
Don't blame it on me. Blame it on the night.
Welcome back, Techie Sports Radio, 502-571-1080. This guy says the Georgia train's coming.
They coming. Exactly what he just said.
We will see.
There's going to be so many of them.
There are going to be a lot of them, I do think. 502-571-1080. One person writes, of course Oscar can win the National Player of the Year. Most National Player of the Year winners don't come back. That's true. But I'm giving you the history of when guys do come back. It is very, very rare. And just look. Just wait till they start showing the people who are the favorites. He will have to be not just better than all the players in the country. He'll have to be better than he was last year by a lot. And I suspect his numbers will go down because we're going to be more balanced this year probably.
Yeah, I mean, he came out playing great. That first game effort I thought was good. Then when he fouled out, I mean, that was a huge difference in the game when he left the game. So, we all like Oscar. We want him to win Player of the Year again. And if he just has even a close season, we got to be happy about it.
Of course. And he had a great first game.
Yeah, he did.
What were you saying, Shannon? I couldn't.
I was just reminding you to do a tweet of the day for Kentucky Branded.
What are you saying? That's the Ryan Lemon tweet of the day.
KentuckyBranded.com. I've never won that.
Yeah.
Good job, Ryan.
And your KSR gear. Well done. That was a really good tweet, Ryan. Who's next?
Harvey.
Harvey. How are you, Harvey?
I'm fine. Hey, I wanted you to know this is for educational purposes only. A disclaimer, okay?
This is for educational purposes only, so you're not trying to sell us something.
No, I'm just telling you that Ryan, he has that cough and sinus problems and everything. I wanted him to check this out. Therin peptates. It's a rice, silkworm enzyme. And it will clear up your sinuses. It will, the congestion in your chest. You can sleep.
So wait a minute, what's it called? Kaopectate?
No. It's a silkworm enzyme. Okay, it's called serin peptate.
What's the name of it? Serin peptate.
page. Okay, I'll spell it for you.
Okay, you're going to have to spell that, Harvey. I can't understand what you're saying. Go ahead.
Okay, S-E-R-R-A-P-E-P-T-A-S-E.
Sarah Pep Bet Pace.
Yeah, it'll do wonders for him.
All right, so you need to. So you're saying Ryan needs to eat some silkworms.
Yeah.
And next thing you know.
No. I'm going to knock hell out of you in a second.
No, I'm kidding with you. It's a silkworm enzyme, right?
Yeah. Have him look it up. Read up on it. Another thing is.
Read up on it.
Something for the basketball team.
Okay.
Coconut oil. This is a belly button thing. Coconut oil, mirrored in your belly button, around your belly button for a few days. It has lutein in it, which affects the retina in your eye, strengthens the retina in your eye, and they can shoot better. Tell them to start using it.
All right, I'm going to tell you what. Tonight, if I see Cal, I'm going to say, hey, Cal, nice to see you. Coconut oil in the belly buttons.
And help you shoot better.
And they'll all shoot better. I like it. Harvey, you're always full of wisdom. I appreciate it.
Hey, tell him I said Harvey told him to try it, especially on those free throws.
Okay, I will tell. Maybe we should do it before the free throw.
I was going to say, maybe just before a big free throw, call a timeout.
And put some coconut oil.
Lay down on this bench and put some coconut oil on the
belly
button.
You know, you're talking about eating worms. I was thinking, do you know that song? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms.
I think you tried to teach me that
before. Big, fat, juicy ones. Some brown, smelly ones. I'm going to eat some worms.
Your confidence level with the singing ability is just, it's gotten out of hand. And now he wants to sing. Now he wants to sing everything.
But what was that comes from something. What does it come from?
I don't know. I think you've said that to us before.
Shannon, what does that come from?
It sounds like a kid's song to me. I don't know.
It is a kid's song, but is it from a movie or why do I know that?
I don't know.
My grandmother, the reason I know it is my grandmother used to sing it to me. She'd be like, because I didn't like worms, and she would like pick one up and then sing that and be like, I'm going to eat some worms, and I'd go, why are you doing that?
Sounds like one of your Tennessee family nursery rhymes you remember from back in the day.
It clearly is a real song. I mean, I'm not just making that up. It exists.
I don't know where that would be from. Did you learn it in primary school education?
It would be, it's probably in a cartoon or something, right? Like, I guarantee.
Well, somebody will know.
Well, looking at this crowd, it doesn't look like anyone knows.
Everybody hates me. Yeah. I think I'll go eat worms.
Turn it up.
Great big juicy ones. Teeny weeny squeeny ones. See how they wiggle and squirm. Cut off their heads and suck out the juice. And throw all the skins away. Whoa. Nobody knows how I survive on worms 3 times a day.
What is this from? I don't remember the cut off the head and suck out the juice part of it.
I just Googled it, and that's what came up. A guy
what
singing
does it
this,
say?
It says, Stuart Cameron, nobody likes me. I think I'll go eat some worms.
It's got to be from something.
Well, first of all, it exists now. You believe it.
I do.
I don't. My grandmother did not sing me the verse, cut off their head and suck out their juice. That is not. I don't think that should be in a children's song.
I totally agree with you on that.
I was going to say, I hope she wasn't trying to convince you to eat them.
That's not. Wow. All right.
Show took a weird turn. Didn't it?
That's not what I expected to see. Who's next?
Steve.
Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
Hey, earlier in the week, you saw where Will Levis was made a comment about how he thought there wasn't enough enthusiasm, you know, on the sidelines. Did you guys see what Mike Leach did to his team the other night or the other day in his football game?
What did they do?
He didn't like the enthusiasm on the bench either, so he took all of the chairs and he stacked them up and he hid them behind the press box, and he wouldn't let any of his players.
But it didn't work, right? Like, they still got crushed, I think.
It didn't work real good, but you know, it's a typical Mike Leach thing, so I just thought it was funny.
What do you think about that, Max? Will Levis's comment that the guys just don't bring it?
We have that issue every now and then, I guess, as a team. For whatever reason, I'm not too sure. We had it down in Missouri 2020, I want to say, where there was just so many guys sitting on the bench and not moving. So Coach Stoops showed the Bill Belichick
thing of, hey, you guys work so hard all year, lift weights, this is why you do it. To when you make that good play, not only should you be excited, your teammates should be excited for you. So, yeah, again, maybe it goes back to a little bit of self-preservation mode with all the players at the moment of I'm worried about myself, and hopefully they can get out of that and enjoy each other's company, because they do. I mean, they do. They would be very happy for each other, as you would know, Ryan. Like, Dane's happy when Barron takes a catch, and Barron's happy when Dane does, so it'd be nice to see a bit of energy on the sideline. Definitely is reminiscent of kind of the mood and the atmosphere of the team.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was just something off Saturday. Maybe it was the weather. Maybe it was Vandy. I don't know what it was, but hopefully they can bounce back. And
I'll tell you what else is off: the Cornbread Mafia podcast.
Still.
Something's happening. We need to investigate. I need people out on the streets looking it up. But nevertheless, until it comes back, cornbreadhemp.com, buy one, get one free right now. It's BOGO is what the kids say.
BOGO.
Buy one, get one free. Cornbreadhemp.com, promo code KSR. I had two listeners write me yesterday, say this is what they've been waiting for, to try it. And I said, if you don't sleep good, I mean, I'm not giving you any money, but I will wish you the best. And I think you will sleep better, because it's cornbreadhemp.com. Full spectrum flower only hemp CBD gummies from Cornbread Hemp.
Good podcast, better product. Yes.
Better people.
Good. They're good people.
That's right. All right, so tonight, remember, 4:30 is the pregame show on WLAP, WHAS, Kentucky and South Carolina State. We'll be here. I'll be giving $500 away during the pregame show. Chris Rodriguez will be here at halftime of the game to draw out. Come on out and say hi. He'll take pictures with folks, and it's a good chance to meet C-Rod. And then you go to commonwealthcauses.org for the raffles that'll be going on. And then during the Titans Packers, I'll give another $500 away from the heavy hitter. It is one of those nights here at KS Bar. And the Georgia guy, you going to be here tonight and win all my money, Georgia guy?
Yeah.
Why not? That's what he says. All right, we will see you later. Thank you all very much, Max. Good to see you, bro.
Thank you.
We will see you at 4:30. This is Kentucky Sports Radio.